This is a GRDC podcast.
Tasmania's high rainfall climate offers cereal growers a high yield potential, though the mild, moist environment also means that growers are on the front line of fungicide resistance issues. Hello, I'm Tony Crowley, and in today's podcast, you'll hear from a Tasmanian grower who takes these challenges in his stride, relying on the latest research to guide his management decisions. Michael Chilvers farms 1,100 hectares at Nile in the northern Midlands of Tasmania and is also a member of GRDC's Southern Region Panel. I caught up with Michael at the Hyper Yielding Cereals Project Field Day held at Hagley in northern Tasmania, an event that showcases research into new cereal lines and agronomy strategies to lift feed grain productivity. According to Michael, there are valuable lessons to take home from field days such as this.
It shows us, what's possible at the top end, and we scale that back to our environment, and it shows us what we need to be really looking for and what the sort of constraints are, apart from the stuff we're dealing with on a day-to-day basis, which might be, an irrigator that's got bogged or, it's got too wet over winter and we need to put more nitrogen on. It's knowing that, crikey, actually, we have to be really careful of these diseases as well, because we know from this work we're seeing today that a disease coming in late, even close to flowering, can wipe 30% of our yield off. And we've spent that money to get that 30%. So that's where it'll bite us. If we've spent a lot of money up front and either we don't follow through on irrigation, so, it's those last couple of things that you get the stitch from spending a lot of money and you think, oh, I'm over it, we'll call this done. And you've just dropped 2 tonnes of yield because you just didn't do that last, either couple of irrigations or the last fungicide or that. So that's what I take away, and I think that's what a lot of growers see, is that, yeah, actually, if we follow through, the returns are good and this model works.
What's brought you to this field day?
What brings me to this field day every year is to see what I'm doing as a grower fits in with what's possible out of the germplasm we're using. So if we're growing Einstein wheat, if we're growing relay or a croc, which are sort of currently those top tier varieties, where are we sitting in relation to what's probably genetically possible in our environment? And paying particular attention to the particular phenology of that variety. So in our environment, when do we want our crop flowering? When do we want our crop filling? And given we've got irrigation, we want it filling as late as we can. We want it to spend as much time growing, A, vegetatively, and B, extend that reproductive period for as long as we can. Nice, soft, long finish. That's what we're after. So we're not looking at the variety as such, but we're looking at the phenology of where that germplasm sits. Here in Tassie, we've got most of the diseases and a few others that other people don't have, in terms of particularly in barley, but in our wheat, our Septoria, our mildews becoming resistant to a few of the fungicides. So we're sort of, unfortunately, I guess, leading the way in fungicide management and how to deal with these really high pathogen loads in a high rainfall zone environment where we're irrigating as well and pushing yield. So that's what keeps me coming back, is that I know what we're doing is on that top end of what's possible, and we need to know what's potentially going to go wrong, where should we be looking, and where are we going to get the best return for that extra dollar we spend.
So you and other growers who are like you in this part of the state, you say you can come here and take a look at what might be possible, but what do you think is the potential?
Good question. I think the potential, so I'll break it down, the potential of me targeting my best field in a particular year and saying I'm going to push this particular paddock to its maximum, and I reckon I'm going to target 14 tonnes this year. So in that paddock, that's really appropriate. My farm average might be sitting around 8, and maybe I can get my farm average to 8.5, but what I learn from that targeting 14 is how I bring the average up. So what we take away as growers is, I think, you know, how do we approach getting our farm average up? I'm always really keen to point out that it's helping growers in the whole high rainfall zone, and even in the medium rainfall zone in a wet year when suddenly their crops are growing really well and they've gone from looking for, you know, a 6-ton yield to perhaps, you know, they're going to push 7, 7.5. Crikey, should we be putting growth regulators on? How much nitrogen should we put out? You know, then they can look back to this and say, well, you know, actually to grow a really high yield, here's a bit of a recipe. It's not a, you know, it doesn't fit everywhere, but this is the basics of what you need to do. And a lot of it is about the basics. How can I transfer that to my environment? And you know, I think this work has relevance really widely.
The other important thing you were talking about, of course, was fungicide and fungicide resistance. So how are you managing fungicide resistance or fungicide management just on your own property?
Yeah, so we've gone away from, you know, we hardly ever do wheat on wheat anymore. We'll bale and or burn a lot of our stubble. A lot of our stubble gets cows run on it over winter, so we'll you know, do a fodder crop straight into that standing stubble, and then just that all gets pugged back into the ground and recycled back in. So, you know, and then it'll be a spring or summer crop after that, so there's another break crop there. So we're sort of trying to extend that intercrop period out. It's really hard. We have green bridges because we're running pivots everywhere. We've got creek lines, we've got pasture, we've got sheep, we've got, you know, so it's a real challenge. And that's, I see, you know, that and weeds obviously are our big issues going forward.
So as well as rotating crops, you're also rotating your chemistry?
That's critical. And the more we learn from things like today, if, you know, the limited number of shots you get, say, with a strobe for your mildews and stuff. And I've seen it. I've seen, you know, we had a crop of Manning wheat that we just couldn't control it. There was nothing we could throw at it that would stop it, and it robbed probably 2 tonnes of yield. So, yes, you do have to rotate. Obviously, we're trying to do best practice, but we've also got this massive inoculum load and this massive pressure because we're growing high-yielding, irrigated crop that's, you know, in a cool, moist environment.
Well, as a grain grower in Tasmania, you're also a member of GRDC's Southern Panel. And how important is the grower network that you have in formulating what should be research priorities for the southern region?
All these positions, I think it's important that you come to them with a big picture view. So you're not just representing your patch. You know, you're representing a whole rainfall zone or a whole region. And so a network that gives you contacts on the ground as to what particular issues are pertinent in particular areas, I think is really important, because it expands your horizon and it expands your understanding of, you know, what issues are important and where the crossover is. So what you can take out of one area's learnings to put into another one to start the basis of some, you know, new field of study or more questions that have come out of something that's already happened in the past. So, yeah, really important.
Tasmanian grain grower and Southern Region Panel member, Michael Chilvers. For more information on GRDC's investments or the Southern Panel, visit the GRDC website, grdc.com.au. I'm Tony Crowley, and you've been listening to a GRDC podcast.